Praise God. And I just thank God for His anointing.
Amen.
You know, the Word is what puts us over in life. And it's only through His Word. And I just pray for utterance in Jesus' name. And I just thank the Lord. You know, when Pastor Randy called me, of course, afterwards I thought, oh, where will I go? You know, because we've been teaching over in a Sunday school. And, but I thought, well, I felt led to talk about one of our favorite Bible, Old Testament Bible people. And because I had started reading the Bible over this year, and so I had been reading about Joseph. And so I began to look at some things. And I guess if I had a title, it would be Finding Our Way Out of the Pit. Have you ever been in a pit? Well, we're going to look at Psalms 42. And it says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet up on a rock and established my goings. You know, I don't know about you. I would like to be able to stand up here and tell you that I've never been in a pit, that I've never had dark times, but I'm telling you, I have. But I found also the secret how to get out of a pit. Glory to God. And so we want to look at also 1 Peter 4 and 12. And it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, I'm telling you, we know that God is never the author of darkness. But we live in a fallen world, and we live in situations that happen. Let's just look at the Word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 27. And let's look at Joseph. Get over there. And let's look at verse 24 first. 37. And we find here, talking about Joseph and his brothers, and we'll back up. But it says, And they took him, and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So we know that here Joseph finds himself in a pit. Now Joseph, as you know, well, let's go back to 12 and 24. We'll just read through there, and then we'll see. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Now, Joseph, as a child growing up in Sunday school, you were taught about Joseph's coat of many colors. And it was a special coat that his father had given to him. And he was his father's favorite son. He was. And so he had this coat of many colors. And not only that, Joseph began to have dreams. And these dreams were from God. But, you know, how many times do you know you should not always just run out and tell everybody your dreams? Because everybody's not going to appreciate your dreams the way you do. And so Joseph, it says that when this happened to him, and he was thrown into the pit by his brothers. He was not but 17 years old. And you know, he had gone out and in picking up in verse 12, his dad had sent him out and told him to go check on his brothers. Well now, you know, his brothers already hated him. The Bible says they hated him. And it was because he was his father's favorite son. And Joseph, like I said, he was young. He received these dreams from God, and he went and told his brothers about how that in this dream, they were going to all bow down to him. Well, they already did not like him at all. And when he told them that, that just made them even madder. And they thought, well, you know, so he's out and his daddy's sending to check on his brothers. Well, that doesn't make them very happy, I'm sure. And his brother, and in verse 12, it says, and his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and he found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him or to kill him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that he is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So we see here, like I said, Joseph was just 17 years old, and his father sent him out to check up on his brothers. His brothers see him. They hate him. So they also saw that he was wearing that beautiful coat. Now that coat represented to them everything they hated, because it represented that their father loved him more than any of them. Okay, so they stripped him of his coat, and now they were going to kill him. And Reuben, the oldest, the firstborn, said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's just, you know, we'll throw him in this pit and get rid of him. And so, but Reuben's whole thing was, his plans was to go back and get Joseph out of this pit. But in the meantime, as he was going along, it says that, Judah said, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? In other words, what good's that going to do? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. There they passed by the Midianites, the merchantmen, and they drew and they lifted Joseph up out of the pit. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Reuben, like I said, he had his plans to deliver his brother. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. He was very upset. And so he returned unto his brethren, and he said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? So they took Joseph's coat, they dipped it in the blood of the animals, and they took it to their father. And they said, we don't know what happened, but we found this coat, and, you know, and in verse 35 it says, 34. It says, Jacob rent his clothes, he put sackcloth upon his loins, and he mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down into the grave with my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now we see here that Joseph has been thrown into a pit. Nothing that day. You know, before everything was like Joseph's world was everything that he had. You know, he's the one that got the coat of many colors. He's the one that was having the dreams from the Lord. He's the one that just knew that, you know, God had given him a dream that all of his brothers were going to bow down to him. And even his dad was going to bow down to him. Well, this just made his brothers very furious. And his brother even rebuked, his dad even rebuked him for it. But the brothers conspired to get rid of him. His dad pondered those things in his heart. What could that mean? What could that mean? They had no idea. And, you know, so, and here is Joseph's world's just going smooth, just rocking along good, and all of a sudden, he finds himself in a pit. How many times in life have you been just rocking along? You felt like everything was going real good. You and God were just on the right page, and everything just seemed wonderful. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you're in a pit. You don't really understand why. And some people stay in that pit. But you know what? The Word of God is how we get out of a pit. And, you know, we're all going to experience the pits of life. Every one of us, at some time or another. And it's not necessarily because we've done anything wrong. You know, in John 16 and 33, let's look there right quick. It says, Jesus talking, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we live in a world that's contaminated by the effects of sin. This world is full of sin, and the pits are just one form of the sin-cursed world. And as long as we're on this earth, we're going to go through challenges. We're going to go through difficult times. Now, I'm not uplifting difficult times. Praise God. We'll see. But, you know, as we look back at Joseph, we see that Joseph was young, and he was a braggart. I mean, he couldn't wait to tell his family about those dreams. And we know, like it said, the relationship between his brothers was very strained. They hated him. And we can learn a lot by the pit, by seeing ourselves in Joseph. First of all, Joseph was a son who had his father's favor. How many of you know you have your father's favor? We are sons and daughters of the King, and we also have the favor of our Heavenly Father. Now, Psalms 5 and 12 says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. The favor of God compasses you as with a shield. Hallelujah. Now, number two, Joseph's father, out of his great love, had given him a gift. Now, much the same way, our Heavenly Father has given us gifts. And you know what? The Father never takes those gifts back. We should never get caught up, though, in that gift and forget the one who gave us those gifts. See, Joseph was young. I can understand that. When you're young, you don't see things a lot. And many times, even sad to say, in life, in older people, we don't see. And so when God does something very wonderful for us, what's our first reaction? We want to tell somebody. But when it comes to spiritual things like dreams, visions, all these things, and I'm telling you, I believe that we're living in the day and time when we're going to be experiencing more and more of the power, the presence of God, the dreams of God, all of these wonderful supernatural things. But we must have discernment. We must know who we're talking to, and we must know if we should even talk about it. Because it's many times just like what happened to Joseph, it detoured the pathway God had for him. I don't believe for one minute it was God's will for Joseph to fall into that pit and for all of that to go. God's plan was for Joseph to succeed in life. And you know he did? I mean, he succeeded through all of this. But let's see, Romans 11:29, when it talks about the gifts, it tells you, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Anything that God gives you, He's not sorry He gave it to you. Amen. He'll never repent and want to take it back. But you know, many times the pathways that we walk on and the pathways and the decisions we make, many times put us on a detour of the plan of God for our lives. That's why it's so important that we must walk closely with Him and know His voice. You know, if we find ourselves in a pit or a dark place, even if the sins of others have put you in that dark place, you know, because many times, things happen with our loved ones, with those we're praying for, and you think, how? And your mind, it breaks your heart. It literally breaks your heart, and you think, how could that happen? But you know what? You can't stay there. You've got to have enough spirituality about you and strength of God to drag yourself back to the things of God instead of wallowing in the damage that the enemy has done to you. Amen. You know, he will do everything he can to destroy you. And I'm not trying to preach no gloom and doom, but I'm telling you, life is there. And we know that we are in a world that is in a fallen state. But this world system belongs to the devil. And you know what? It's not God's will, never, for bad things to happen. Things to happen to our children when they're just babies or whatever. It's not their fault. But there's a devil out there. And it's not necessarily because you did something wrong. It's just the fact that the enemy is there to try to destroy you. But with God, all things are possible, and He can turn, I don't care what situation it is, He can turn it around. I've got some situations right now that I am believing God to literally turn them upside down. Amen. Now, I don't know how He's going to do it, but I'm telling you, He will do it. But we must walk on with God. And you know, that coat that Joseph made, we know it represented favor. I mean, every time they saw that coat, those brothers, they knew that coat represented the favor of their father. And I'm telling you, you have been clothed with a coat of, a whole coat of favor, of honor, of all of the presence of God, the glory of God. Hallelujah. And Revelations 12 and 10 tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I want you to know that no matter what goes wrong in life, when you find yourself in a pit, I want you to know the devil just wants you to sit right down in that pit He wants to feed lies to you and tell you, well, maybe if you'd have done something just another way, or maybe if you had talked more to your loved ones, or whatever that pit is. Well, he is a liar. And in Genesis, let's see, we read that. So we know that the enemy is very deceptive. He's mean. He's deceptive. He's a liar. But I'm telling you, he cannot tell the truth, but he will tell us a lie. And in those dark times, all he wants to do is feed your mind with lies. And you know what? He will even fabricate evidence to support those lies. You know, he will... Have you ever just had a situation and the devil's bombarding your mind with lies, and you're fighting those lies, and you're standing on the word, and then he'll put somebody else right in your pathway, and they'll either do the very same thing that person did, or it'll look like that what the devil was telling you is really true, you know? He's a liar, but he will fabricate it. He will make it look so big. He will make it look so bad. And the more you dwell on that darkness in that pit, the bigger it gets. And you know, just like the story of Joseph, his daddy, they brought that coat with the blood of the animals. And they said, do you know this coat? Yes, he knew that coat. And he said, well, the wild animals must have gotten my son and killed him. And I'm going to go to my grave mourning for my son. Well, you know that was a lie. His son was alive. His son was God all the time. And we know from the story of Joseph, from the time of that pit, Joseph just climbed upward. No matter what the devil threw his way, Joseph got out of it. He became the Pharaoh of Egypt. And his wife, the Pharaoh's wife, you know, she decided that she was going to seduce Joseph. And you know what? Joseph had grown so much and had so much integrity that he literally ran from that situation. I'm telling you, we need to have as much sense and realize when we're in a pit or when we're in a dark place, how to run away. If you have to, run out of there. Whatever you have to do to get out of the enemy's territory, get out of it. Don't play with the devil. Don't play with sin. It'll get you in a pit. And you know what a pit will do? It will. There was no way Joseph could have got out of that pit by himself. They had to help him out of that pit. And I'm telling you what, I don't care how dark that pit is, you can get out of it if you want to. Bad enough. So we know that Israel, Jacob's father, believed that lie. And you know what? We must discern the lies of the enemy. And anything that comes to steal, kill, or destroy you is a lie. And when you're in a dark place or a pit, you've got to discern the lies of the enemy. And the only thing that's going to discern the lies of the enemy and bring light to you is this word. Amen. The anointed word of God. That's why you need to be in church. That's why we need to hear the anointed word of God. That's why we need pastors. That's why we need, and then we need to be at home opening this book up for ourselves. And we need to quote that word. I mean, speak it to yourself until you believe it. And you know, circumstances usually don't look very favorable. That's one thing about the devil. He doesn't look very favorable, but he knows how to lie and to make you think that that season of sin is so glorious. Well, the Bible says sin does have, you know, it has a certain amount of pleasure for a season. But when that season ends, it brings nothing but destruction and death to you. Glory to God. Now, to get out of that pit and overcome those lies, we must focus on the Word, speak His promises, pray. Like Pastor Randy was talking about, pray. You don't have to have no pretty words. Talk to the Father like you talk to a friend. We must focus on the Word and prayer, communion with God. And we know that the true humility and the integrity of heart is what saved Joseph. Now, when Joseph was faced with more pit challenges, he overcame every one of them. He learned well in that pit. So if you're in a pit or been in a pit, learn from that pit. Don't keep getting thrown into that. But, you know, in Genesis 50 and 20, Joseph said this when he was talking to his brethren. And when it was amazing. I challenge you. I'm sure most of you have read it. But read it over again, the story of Joseph. I mean, it's amazing how God took him from a pit. He became ruler over it all. Then the devil came again, put him back into another pit, put him into a dark dungeon physically. And then this dreamer began to interpret those dreams. And you know what? He was in there and he didn't think he was ever going to get out of that pit. But he never lost the integrity and the love for God. And it says that in Genesis 50 and 20, he's talking to his brothers after he had delivered them. And he said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph went on and he became the head over all of Egypt. He provided food. God gave him a plan, how to store up, gave him a vision actually of these real thick cattle, then these real lean cattle. And what it was, there was going to be 7 years of famine. And he told him, "You store up in the years of plenty for the famine." And it saved that whole country, saved his family, saved their lives, and he never had one bad thing against his brothers. Not one thing. And one thing, I copied it out of this book that I'd been reading, and I just want to finish up with this because I think it is so awesome. You know, your Old Testament, you need to read your Old Testament. Amen. I'm telling you, you need to meditate on the new, the promises of God, but you need to read your Old Testament. I'm telling you, it is types and shadows of Jesus. And look for Jesus in the Old Testament. So I'm going to close with this, but I want to just read this to you. It's so good. Remember, Joseph's brothers hadn't really wanted to throw him into a pit. The original plan was to kill him, but Joseph's oldest brother, Reuben, intervened. Now, and Reuben said to them in verse 22 of 37, he said, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." That was Reuben's plan. Now, if anyone had a right to be jealous of Joseph, it would have been Reuben, because he was the oldest son. And the heirship rights always went to the oldest son. And most of the time, the honor that Joseph received went to the firstborn. But Reuben gave up that honor for Joseph's sake. And in this situation with Joseph, Reuben had two purposes for the firstborn son. He wanted to deliver Joseph, and he wanted to bring him back to his father. In this way, Reuben was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus is the firstborn Son of God, the one on whom God's favor rests. But Jesus gave up all his rights and privileges so that you and I could become the favored sons and daughters of God. Amen. Jesus left the glories of heaven with a twofold purpose, to deliver us and bring us back to his Father. So Reuben is a type of Christ. Now Joseph is also a type of Christ. Joseph was stripped of his robe of many colors. And Jesus, remember, was stripped of his robe. And soldiers gambled for his robe in Matthew 27, 28 and 35. And Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. But Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now Joseph was sold for the 20 pieces of silver to the Midianite traders, but they took Joseph to Egypt and sold him for a profit. The price of a slave at that time was 30 pieces of silver. So history indicates that Joseph was ultimately sold for 30 pieces of silver too. Now Joseph was betrayed by Judah. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Judah and Judas are the very same word in Hebrew. Now the Midianite traders who brought Joseph to Egypt was carrying spices, balm, and myrrh. The disciple Nicodemus brought myrrh and alloys to the tomb to embalm the body of Jesus. Joseph was thrown into a pit, and then God delivered him out of that pit. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, and God raised him up. But there's a very important difference between Jesus and Joseph. Jesus didn't do anything to deserve being thrown in a pit. Joseph, like I said, was young and should have never told his dreams. So we see here that actually without Jesus in the state of not being born again, we deserve to be thrown in a pit. We sin. We should have been thrown into that pit for all eternity. But Jesus Christ went to that pit for us. So we would never have to go to a pit. And we don't have to go into a pit in this life either. Jesus paid the price to redeem us from every single temptation, anything that comes to destroy us, any bad report, anything that the devil tries to torment your mind with. Jesus bought it for you. Psalm 16 and 10 says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you or hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." This was a messianic prophecy about Jesus, a prophecy that was fulfilled. God did not leave his only begotten son in a pit, and he will not leave you in one either. Jesus Christ died to deliver us from every pit. He died so that we could have life and have life more abundant. Receive what Jesus did for you. And I'm going to close, but I'm going to tell you what. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the uncompromising word of God that I've learned that I am victorious. I thank my pastors for that. I thank them for all their years of dedication of teaching us the word of God, that we don't have to live in a pit. You don't have to be down. You don't have to be beaten up by life. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And I thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm through.